Well, please would you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 16. I'd like us to read verses 14 to 18. We've been studying the Gospel of Luke for numbers of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the unjust steward. And Jesus was encouraging and directing his disciples to invest in God's kingdom, to use their money for God's glory. And this is what we read from Luke 16, verse 14. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, but the Pharisees were listening in. And we read, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced from a husband commits adultery.'" Now, isn't it very sad to read this passage? We know that in the beginning of Luke chapter 15, the Pharisees and the scribes were already murmuring and complaining. But now we read in this passage that they've gone beyond murmuring, they've gone beyond complaining, and now they're sneering. And sometimes you find that with people, don't you? They, first of all, they hear about the Christian message and there's things that they don't like about it. And they mumble and complain about it. Oh, we don't like these Christians. They believe this, they believe the other. But sadly, they often move to a position where they begin to mock and deride and sneer at the person of Jesus Christ and the message of Christianity. They didn't like what Jesus was saying. He was talking about money. And these Pharisees, they loved money. They loved position. They loved wealth. They loved what they could get. They loved what the people gave to them. They were lovers of money. They were covetous. And so they didn't like Jesus's message. Jesus put his finger upon an area of their lives that was wrong in the sight of God, and they couldn't stand that. And so they derided him. And then Jesus says in verse 15, "You are these people who justify yourselves. You think that you're fine. You think that you're in a good position before God. You think that you're upright and honest. You think that you're better than others. You justify yourself because you say we have standards and we keep to our standards." But Jesus says, God knows your hearts. He knows what's really going on in the inside. And then Jesus says, "Then what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." That's very strong words. Jesus says, what you look up to and say is so wonderful. You fast, you give to the poor, you do so much. But because your motives are utterly wrong, and because you think by this you have a righteousness before God, these things, in fact, no matter how much they are esteemed by society and how much people look up to you, they're all an abomination in the sight of God, because you, in fact, turn your back upon God. In fact, you practice evil. These things are to do with the pride of life. They're to do with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, the things that you hanker after, and your standards are not the standards of God. And then Jesus says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it." He said that the coming of John the Baptist was a watershed. The Old Testament was taught, and it was pointing to Christ, and it was pointing to the coming kingdom. And Jesus said, "I, the Messiah, have now come. And the common people that you despise, Jews and Gentiles, they are pressing into the kingdom. They take the kingdom by force. But you just sit back on your laurels and enjoy your comfort and your wealth." And then he says to them, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Don't think that I, in any way, am putting aside the Old Testament. All is fulfilled in me. And the whole law of God, the whole word of God, will never be removed. And then you might say, why does he bring this up, verse 18? He speaks about divorce. Well, it's because the Pharisees had made divorce very, very easy. Jesus was putting his finger on another sin in their lives. And he says to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her and who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Jesus knew that they tried to wriggle round the law of God. They tried to change the law of God for their own ends. And he says, not one stroke of the law, not one tittle of the law is going to pass away. And emphatically, here's an example. What God has said about divorce, he hates it, is true. And if you marry another having divorce, you're committing adultery. So here in these verses, verses 14 to 18, we have some very uncompromising teaching. Jesus' teaching in many ways was black and white. Remember verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. These Pharisees, they love to fudge the word of God. They love to make the word of God not say what it actually said. But Jesus was very plain and clear in his teaching. It was unmistakable. You either serve God or you serve money. You cannot have both. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 14 and verses 26 to 27. This is the nature of Christ's teaching. This is the sort of things that he said to people. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus was uncompromising in his teaching. He was saying, if you're to follow me, I must come before everybody. Your loyalty to me must be above your dearest family member. Of course, we're not to understand this in that Jesus is saying you hate members of the family. No, it's purely a contrast. He teaches husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. But he's using this strong language to say that I must be Lord of all. And if there's a choice between me and what a member of your family says, and you know what I am saying is right, you follow me. And then Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, he says this, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You see, Jesus is teaching is not an easy peasy, lemon squeezy sort of teaching. It's not a simple ABC. Jesus is saying to enter the kingdom of God, you need to realize that it's a narrow door, a narrow gate. You can't come with a baggage of your sin and thinking that you can continue on in a life of sin. And you can't come changing God's word and making it suitable for your own lives as the Pharisees will want to do. It's a narrow gate. You can't come on your own terms. You must come on my terms. And you must enter in and strive to enter into that gate. You must seek me with all of your heart. So then, we're looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 14 to 18. The Pharisees are being addressed in these words. They were ones who thought that they were righteous and that Jesus was the lawless one. They looked at Jesus and saw him eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, and they said, look, he's contaminating himself. He's not like us. We are the Pharisees. We're the separated ones. We keep ourselves apart from others. We are the ones who are holy. And he is the one who sits with sinners and eats with them and is a sinner himself. Jesus, in the way in which he addresses them, shows their own hearts and exposes it to them. Now we're going to consider today the danger of dumbing down God's word and ignoring its force and its clear intent. We're going to look at the danger of changing God's word and giving your own interpretation to it. Is that possible? Remember, we had a young man who came and spoke at a men's meeting here, and he's talking about a subject, and because of his lifestyle, he told us, as a young man, he tried to get the word of God to fit his sort of lifestyle. And he made the verses in the Bible mean something they didn't mean, until he came to the absolute conviction that actually the Bible, what it was saying plainly, was what it was saying plainly. And he submitted to it, and God used it to his blessing. Now, why do we do this? Well, we're going to first of all consider the reason why men do this, and it's because we want to justify ourselves, justify our lifestyle. Secondly, we're going to look at the foolishness of doing this. It's very foolish because the word of God never changes and can never be changed. And then thirdly, we're going to look at that example that Jesus gives with respect to divorce. We're going to see how the Pharisees changed the word of God for their own ends and how Jesus counteracted that by reinforcing the word of God. So first of all, let's look at the reason why people change the word of God to suit themselves. Well, the reason is this, that they are concerned about their own name, their own reputation, their own standards. They want the word of God to say what they want it to say. They don't want the word of God to challenge them. This is a danger, isn't it, for us? We don't want people to think ill of us. We don't want people to malign us or misrepresent us or misunderstand us. But when we're more concerned about what people think about us rather than what God thinks about us, we're in a very dangerous position. When we seek the approval of man rather than the approval of God, we will inevitably compromise on God's word. We will follow the standards that society holds to in order to fit in and be approved rather than follow the values of the word of God. Now, in Luke chapter 18, verse 11, we have a glimpse of the sort of things that the Pharisees did and the sort of things that they felt justified them before men. Jesus is giving a parable, and in the parable, the Pharisee stands and he prays in the temple. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, the Pharisee's standards were this. I deny myself and I fast. Maybe as a ritual, but I do it. I do it twice a week. I give all my tithes. I'm honest. I don't steal. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I seek to be a person of integrity. I'm certainly not an adulterer. I don't go with other women and take other men's wives. I'm not like the tax collector, those who will cheat. My standards are the best standards. I'm upright. I'm holy. I'm good. And Jesus, as we come back to Luke 16, says that whatever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, when man seeks to justify himself, when man seeks to tell God that he is righteous, when man doesn't confess his sin, when man doesn't see himself as an offense, when human beings do not see that their best deeds are like filthy rags in the sight of God, then it's all an abomination in the sight of God. The problem with the Pharisees was this, that everything was about the outward. It was about seeking to meet other people's expectations. It was about keeping up appearances. They would go to the synagogue or to the temple, and before they went in, they would pray on the street, wanting people to see them, that they were holy religious men. In the synagogues, they would stand at the front. They wanted to be known. The robes that they wore, where they were in feasts, the people they talked to. And it was all about a comfortable life. These were the people who did the right thing. But Jesus knew their hearts. In verse 14, he says that they were covetous. They loved money. On another occasion, he said that they devoured widows' homes. Jesus knew what was going on the inside. He knew their behavior. They derided him, verse 14. They may not have done that often openly for fear of what the crowds thought of them. But he knew that they despised him in their hearts. Why is it? Why is it that people twist the word of God and make the word of God suit themselves? It's because they don't want the challenge of God's word. They don't want the word of God to show their sin. They want the word of God to be an easy word. And they want their standards to be the standards. I've got a few searching questions for us. Do you ever find yourself comparing yourself with others and saying, I'm not like him or I'm not like her? Do you ever have that Pharisaical spirit within you? I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like her. That girl at college, I wouldn't be like her. That next door neighbor, that person down the street, that person in the office, I'm not like them. Or do you put yourself before the holy God and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner like everybody else. Lord, I don't know the depths of my sin. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Do you put yourself up before others or before God? Do you find yourself justifying yourself? We can run other people down in order for people to think well of us. And we can justify our own wrong actions rather than confessing to God. Now, how are you in taking offense? Are you easily angered when a friend says to you in love, you know, that's not the way to go, that's dishonoring God? Are you easily offended? Do you find yourself blaming or scorning the person who highlights an error in your life? Are you concerned about the approval of others rather than the approval of God? Do you take seriously the teaching of the Lord Jesus? You see, Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, God knows your heart. It's no good putting on a performance. It's no good setting up your own standard and comparing yourself with others. God knows what's going on in your life. But secondly, let's look at the foolishness of downgrading God's word. What does Jesus say, verse 17? It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. What is a tittle of the law? It's the least stroke of a pen. You get the whole of the Hebrew Old Testament, and you know there's these little dashes, these little strokes. And Jesus says, not even that will pass away from the law of God. It's eternal. It's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Jesus is saying to these Pharisees who felt that they were upholders of the law, really listen to that word. And let the word of God fix upon your life. And don't try and change it in any way. Nothing can be changed. It's eternal. Now today there are people who say, well, we live in New Testament times. And we can forget the Old Testament. The Old Testament is to do with past history. It's passed away. We follow the teaching of Jesus in the New Testament. Well, for a person to say that is to deny the very words of the Lord Jesus. He himself preached the Old Testament. He himself upheld the Old Testament. What does the Old Testament, what does the law say to us? It tells us who God is. It tells us his nature. It tells us how holy and glorious he is. It tells us about the nature of man. Why would we want to do away with the word of God? It tells us about the law of God, the Ten Commandments. It tells us about God's plan of redemption. Yes, the Old Testament, as you read it through, is very convicting because it shows the high, holy glories of God and the majesty of his law. And through the law comes the knowledge of sin, but it also points to a Savior. There's all the types and all the figures. We have the sacrificial system that's pointing us to the cross of the Lord Jesus. It's foolish to try and change God's word in any shape or form. And it's foolish to do away with the Old Testament. Rather, we are to say, this is the word of God. And we're called to obey it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But lastly, I just want us to focus upon this area in verse 18 that Jesus spoke about, divorce and remarriage. What he says here is not all that is said by the lips of the Lord Jesus, and it's not all that is said in the New Testament. We have Matthew 19, an exception clause. A man could divorce if his wife had been unfaithful in marriage. Divorce was permitted. 1 Corinthians 7, it says, when the unbeliever deserts, when there's desertion, divorce is permitted. But that being so, what we read in verse 18 is the clear teaching of the Bible that God hates divorce. And here we have the big principle. Jesus, on this occasion, is giving no exception whatsoever, because he knows that the Pharisees were always trying to wriggle around the word of God. There was a school of Hillel, and the school of Hillel gave lots of reasons why you could divorce your wife. And one was that even if your wife had burnt the dinner, you could divorce her. Another school of thought said this, that if a man found a more beautiful woman, then he could divorce her. And the Pharisees took on board this easy divorce. And Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. You think you can just put away your wife? Well, I tell you, if you put away your wife, just for any reason, you put her away and you go and marry another person, you are in a state of adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Now, this was needful. The Pharisees needed to hear this. Jesus knew that they'd already committed adultery in their hearts. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 on the Sermon of the Mount says that if anyone looks upon a woman with lust in his heart, he has already committed adultery. But he wanted them now to consider the way in which they were living, outwardly as well as inwardly. If they were practicing easy divorce, they were putting themselves in a state of adultery. Now today, increasingly, marriage is not being upheld. We know that the government wants to bring in no-fault divorce. And of course, we don't want people to be acrimonious. There's nothing worse than people trying to sort out their affairs and hating one another and huge squabbles over money. And that's an awful way to do it. But we do not want to have no-fault divorce. Because no-fault divorce means nobody's wrong, it easily goes through, and marriage is cheapened. We need to uphold the word of God. Now, as we have considered these verses this morning, I want us also to look at something that we haven't looked at, which is the middle of verse 16, where Jesus talks about preaching the kingdom of God and everyone pressing into it. He's exposed the Pharisees, and he's now saying to them, but you know, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has come amongst you. And you may be getting on with your comfortable little lives, twisting the word of God and making it suit yourself. But listen, there are other people. And it can be translated here that they are forcing their way into the kingdom of God. They're not like you, sitting back on your laurels. They're taking effort. They're doing all they can. They're seeking God with all their heart. They're accepting the cost. They are pressing into the kingdom of God. And Jesus says the kingdom is being preached. John the Baptist preached the kingdom. He told people to repent and to believe in the coming one because the kingdom of God had come. Jesus Christ preached the kingdom. He called men and women to repent of their sin and to believe in him. And all over the place, there were ones and twos, people pressing into that kingdom. So I ask you this morning, are you somebody who has come into the kingdom of God? Who do you identify yourself with? Do you realize that you've been a Pharisee, putting your standards above God's standards? Thinking that your standards are the right standards and the word of God must fit your standards? Or are you somebody who's recognized that you're a sinner and you've given up your life to Jesus Christ? You've pressed into the kingdom of God. You've repented of your sin. You've come to the glorious cross of Christ, where he shed his blood that sinners might be forgiven. And you've wept over your sin. Your heart has bled over your sin. You've been ashamed over your sin. And you've seen a glorious Savior who's loved you with an eternal love, who's stood in your place, who's taken your sin, who's taken your judgment, and who welcomes you into his kingdom. Have you come simply as a little child, simply trusting in Jesus? Oh, the Pharisees were far too complicated. They wanted to make the word of God say something totally different instead of accepting the plain teaching of the word of God. And they mocked Jesus Christ and they derided him. There are many people today in our society who are in the same position as the Pharisees. They may be very good people. They may do very, very many moral things. But they deride the person of the Lord Jesus. May it be that we are those who press into the kingdom of God. We are those who know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Amen.